way we have to live here in this country. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for the things they believe in. When they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program. Here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com or AltRightTV.com, you can reach us through either portal. Well, yesterday I traveled out to Western Canada, to beautiful British Columbia. And I continue everywhere, as they say in religious terms, to testify. That is, to speak up for what I know, especially about this scandemic, the coronavirus scandemic, actually the Wuhan flu scandemic. Not that there isn't a flu, yes there is, not that it can't do damage, yes it can, and not that it cannot kill vulnerable people. It can do that too. But the emphasis is on vulnerable people, almost all of them old, with many pre-existing conditions that weaken the body. Anyway, everywhere you go, there is a lack of service, or things are cut back or restricted, and if you are so bold as to ask, well, why, you're told COVID virus. Okay, I have a beef with Air Canada on several levels, but one of them is they used to supply newspapers, not to everybody, but you could ask if, and quite often they'd have a bundle of papers and they'd give you one of the daily papers. And in the Maple Leaf Lounge, and that's a place which is open to those of us who are frequent flyers, they would always have a supply of a couple of newspapers and various magazines. Well, the Maple Leaf Lounge lounges were closed from March until, in some cases, the very end of July. In other cases, they didn't open until a week or two ago. And they're far meaner circumstances. I won't go into all of that, but I asked, well, are there any newspapers? No. I said, well, why not? COVID virus. Because this was a lady, I didn't say my usual bullshit. I said, well, that doesn't explain anything. Why? I mean, the COVID viruses hide on newspapers and they're ready to hop out at us? Oh, she said she didn't really know. I said, as a matter of fact, viruses do not do well on rough surfaces, which is what a newspaper is. Well, that's another line. Basically, she said, well, they just don't deliver them. Yeah, I said, but why not? I said basically, it's meaner and less service all the time. And much of the traveling public will not come back. Some have been so thoroughly terrified by this, by the relentless COVID virus propaganda, that they're too afraid. But others like myself, who are frequent flyers, who have to fly quite often on business, and more optionally, occasionally for pleasure, will think carefully about it. I mean, if the prices are going to remain high, but the service is vastly reduced, and you have they're forced to wear a mask on the plane, and you've got some announcement that reminding you that this is part of your contract, and that you could be fined, you could be even arrested when you leave the plane if you've not been wearing your mask over your nose. When do I have to pay $1,500 to travel back for return fare across the country to be gagged like a bad dog? Anyway, so I said to you, travel will not come back unless people are treated fairly. And they're not being treated fairly. This is just nonsense. So I was at another lounge, because this is a long trip, and I took it up with the lounge manager about the newspapers. I said, well, this is just not very good. And she first of all tried to fob me off with COVID virus. I said, well, that doesn't explain anything. I mean, what do they tell you? Well, she said the viruses could be on the newspaper. Well, the delivery man has to deliver the papers, I guess, to the airport. And then I guess somebody has to transport them to the lounge and then lay them out. And then people come along. Well, she said, the viruses could be transferred from person to person. I said, well, not very likely. If the person delivering the papers, we can probably assume he's healthy. If he wasn't, he'd probably be he'd be homesick, right? But even if he weren't healthy, the virus does not survive very long on newspaper. So the transmission risks are very low. And the papers aren't passed around, by and large, from person to person. In the lounge, you would pick up your newspaper or magazine, as the case might be, and probably put it away in your briefcase or to read on the plane or later. There is no rational explanation. I don't know if it's just a way to cheap out or if it's a rules made by people up above. We don't know who they are. And, when I explained it to this woman, she agreed with me. She said, well, I'm pretty low down on the pecking order, And I agree. And I know she didn't make the policies, but nonetheless. And I think it's incumbent upon those of us who don't want our liberty leached away to speak up. And the degree to which I speak up is determined by my annoyance. I deal with a number of Canadian banks, and one of them is the Bank of Nova Scotia. Bank hours have bounced around since the beginning of the COVID virus hysteria, but now normally, across Canada, the hours are, I think, 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. So here in the interior of British Columbia, I dropped into a local Bank of Nova Scotia branch at about 3:30. The doors were closed. They're only open till 3. Well, I was able to, for one of my banking functions, was able to use the banking machine in the lobby. But I thought, well, what's the point of being quiet? So I spoke quite loudly for the benefit of the hearing of two other customers who were waiting to use the machine, that this is, and I won't say it exactly as I said it, but just, this is absolute bullshit. Everything is reduced, closed down. The excuse is COVID virus. It's no excuse at all. They're just either lazy or cheap. anyway, I think it's important to call them on that, because you see what I think this is a big test to see how much people will put up with, or how much they will conform to nonsense. I'm not saying that the COVID virus was invented to do that, but I think it is being seized upon as an opportunity by government and business and many businesses. Well, I heard an interesting figure out here in British Columbia today. In July, there were 175 people who died from opiate overdoses. This is some of the junk that's coming in from Red China. Now, those 175 people were more than all the COVID virus deaths, the automobile accident deaths, the homicides, and the suicides. So put all the other forms of violent death, homicide, suicide, and automobile accidents, add them to the those who died from COVID virus. That figure for those four causes of death was less than the people who died from opiate overdoses in the month of July in British Columbia. And I understand there were similar figures in for previous months. Well, what's my take on that? My take is they didn't shut the province down to deal with this opiate abuse. I don't know if we want to call it epidemic, but large number of cases, let's say. And nor should they have. But they did for the COVID virus, which basically hurts only the medically vulnerable, and mostly the medically vulnerable and old, and very old people who are medically vulnerable because of perhaps diabetes, heart disease, respiratory problems, and so on. And I'm all for protecting those people. But the means, the method of protecting them is not to shut the economy down, as has been done, or largely shut it down. Well, there was a story on the CBC today, on the CBC today, and it caught my attention, so I researched it further. And it really is quite shocking. And I heard one of the protagonists on the interview today on the CBC. I was really quite appalled at the arrogance of the person. So it occurred yesterday in West Vancouver, which is there are a lot of homosexuals there. I wouldn't say it's quite the gay village, but here's the report from Global News about the incident. And then I will give you some further information that emerged out of the radio interview today with CBC News. It's the story of a self-righteous
and then when I heard
this guy is bald with a big bushy beard. He's a reporter for Sportsnet,
He claims not to be homosexual.
What was being said, I took...
I'm afraid this may be a little bit broken up, but... this guy chose to confront...
...get a step further and told them to...
I think we may have a little bit of a problem with this. I'm relying on a very, very slow internet hookup to...
After things in the news, because you're not welcome in this neighborhood.
He's trying to explain himself.
From his hospital bed, Justin Morissette, recalling the event.
Okay, it doesn't look as though we're going to get the very, very well, and don't think we want lots of dead space, and so I will explain it to you. Anyway, I heard this fellow on the radio today. A Vancouver man is speaking out after an alleged assault by anti-gay demonstrators over the weekend left him with serious injuries. Sportscaster Justin Morissette says he was tackled and thrown to the ground and his leg was badly broken following a confrontation in the city's West End. He said he was coming home from work on Saturday and heard an incredibly loud loudspeaker, so loud he initially couldn't make out what they were saying. quote, I had a girl coming over and I did not want that to be the soundtrack of our date, so I decided at the very least to go tell them to turn that down. Then when I heard what was being said, I took a step further and told them to pack their things and leave because you're not welcome in this neighborhood. Now, who made this Morissette guy the spokesman for the neighborhood? Well, nobody. He's a self-righteous busybody. Morissette said he asked them to turn the volume down on their loudspeaker. When they refused, he tried to lower the volumes himself and someone pushed him away. Well, Morissette then took the microphone from the person speaking. And he also tried to grab at the loudspeaker. I heard him say that in his radio interview today. In other words, he assaulted the people. Today he was trying to explain. He said they were involved with hate speech and hateful things. They're preaching against... the LGBTQ lifestyle. That's all he said. There was a saying that these two men were saying that it went against the laws of God. And there are many people who believe that. Many traditional Christians. Anyway, he wouldn't say exactly what they said because that would not be allowed on radio. that's a coy way of keeping us in the dark. Well, you know, what exactly were they saying? Well, then he went on to say that I told them, and he said, I can't exactly say it because it's not allowed on the radio, but apparently he said something to the effect of, get the fuck out of our neighborhood. You're not welcome here. Well, this is the pompous attitude of many of the self-righteous politically correct. So I'll continue with the... with the report here. That's when he said someone jumped on him to get the microphone back. And he shrugged off that attack. Another man tried to put him in a grappling hold. If this was a fight, he decided to cheat to win. Well, we don't know about that. but anyway, in the fracas, his leg was broken. He claims it was broken on purpose. Police arrested two men from the protest group and are recommending charges of aggravated assault and mischief. I think if I were their lawyer, I would countercharge this Morrissey. He got in their face and provoked them. Furthermore, he tried to grab their property. That's assault. A man claiming to be a member of the group took to social media Monday to say he was arrested by Vancouver police for preaching the gospel. A man who identified himself as Dora Love says he, in fact, was the victim of an assault and wants Morissette to be charged, and I agree with him. Videos posted to social media show what appears to be the same group preaching at English Bay earlier in the day. Vancouver police were on the scene keeping the peace between the group and angry beachgoers. When Morris had shared his story on Twitter, he drew responses from people who said the preachers had become a regular and aggressive nuisance. Vancouver Bureau MLA Spencer Chandra Herbert. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a normal name, is it? Well, he's a very out there homosexual. Says it appears the group has violated noise bylaws and laws around hate speech. Oh yeah, he's already charged and convicted them on that. He has. When you spread hate and you target lesbian, gay, bi, and transgender people in the West End, or no matter what the community is, people won't stand for it. So in other words, this elected MLA, I think he has actually taken the name of the person he is married. I mean, I can understand why some people say we're living in end times. This sort of nonsense cannot hold. What's the guy's name again? Spencer, he's white. Chandra, that's an East Indian name. Herbert. Spencer Chandra Herbert. When you spread hate and you target lesbian, you mean you have an opinion different from theirs. Anyway, I certainly hope that these people who were assaulted by this busybody. Now, you know, if he really believed that the noise bylaws were violated, then call the police. And he certainly had a right to express his opinion that he didn't like what they were saying. But to try to grab their equipment, try to basically assault them, is way over the line. And you should have heard the self-righteousness of this fellow. He was actually blubbering. It was comical. He was actually blubbering in this interview with the CBC today from his hospital bed. He said he received so many tweets and expressions on Facebook and of support. And he was just... It made the pain better. It'd be a shame for an adult, healthy, grown man to talk like that, honestly. If he hadn't insisted that he was heterosexual, I would have thought he was homosexual. But anyway, that's what he said, so we just can only go on what he said. But, you know, he was in the face of these people using obscenities, told them to get the fuck out of the neighborhood, and he said he saw the pain on the face of some of his neighbors at what they were hearing. I thought more and more our diminishing rights are being governed not by what we do, but by what somebody else feels. Now, whether or not other people felt upset. Oh, yeah, he wanted the West End to be a safe space for the LGBTQ crowd. There is the absolutely feminized, rights-destroying gospel and agenda of the cultural Marxists and the LGBTQ crowd. They want a safe space. Well, what's a safe space?
you and I would probably say, well, a place where they're, you know, not beaten up, and yeah, okay, fair enough. Nobody should be beaten up. Well, who ended up getting beaten or attacked? Well, the Christian protesters. Do you have a right to be free of views you don't like? Well, I would say no, you don't. You will see, you will hear things. And I must say, I hear things on the poisonous CNN and the Communist Broadcasting Corporation up here. People who are quoted, people who are given airtime. I hear views every day that upset me. I won't say don't make me feel safe, but I don't like. And that's what this guy's talking about. These people, or he alleges, don't want to hear views critical of them. In other words, the traditional Christian religious expression that the practice, and not the inclination, but the practice of homosexuality is immoral, is against the law of God. Now, you know, now that is increasingly getting to be a difficult proposition in our society today, where apparently privileged groups should have the right not to be challenged. Well, I'll leave that. I'll probably come back to it again, because I'm sure we haven't heard the end of it. Here is some commentary on the mess that happened in for the last 2 days in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Now, what we are told, and that's is that a 29-year-old Negro man who had been involved with the police on a domestic issue a few days ago was confronted by officers who were investigating another call, and he reached into his car, and the police believe he had a knife, said he had a knife, and we're not told, actually, you know, whether one was found. His three children were in the car, and one officer fired seven shots into him from the back. Now, this is what we're told. There's been very, very little else, other information. The officers involved have been put on on desk duty, which is standard on administrative leave. That's standard. And there's an investigation. A very short video, basically capturing only the policeman shooting this Negro, was up on the internet. This is a Jacob Blake, and okay. With only that, you might say it sounds pretty bad. Oh yeah, Jacob Blake, despite taking seven bullets, is in serious but condition in hospital, but will live, perhaps with some life-altering injuries. Well, I think a lot of that is not really for certain yet. Okay, so definitely an incident like this needs to be investigated. Did the police have reasonable grounds to shoot him, or did they not? We don't know. However, as you might predict, there were immediately riots in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and the Democratic governors had to call in the National Guard. There were riots on Friday night, on Sunday night, on Sunday night, on Monday, and I'm broadcasting this, and the news is still not in yet from Eastern Europe, North America, but they were expecting them tonight. Parts of the business area in the downtown part of Oshkosh, a city of 100,000, part of the business area was burned, looted. All sorts of buildings were burned. Dozens were destroyed. It's typical of the Negro rioting that occurred in the 1960s and that has occurred again sporadically ever since. The Denny incident in Los Angeles about 20 years ago, and in Baltimore, and so on. The rather incomprehensible behavior of looting and burning their own neighborhood. And with long-term catastrophic results. One of the results is that many of these small businesses will not come back. They may have been bankrupted by the losses of the looting and the fire, but even if they weren't, if they want to rebuild, they may find it impossible to get insurance. The insurance companies may well say, "Look, don't know how to put this nicely, but you're in a very dangerous neighborhood where the police apparently couldn't protect you or wouldn't protect you, as the case might be. We're not going to insure you," or they would insure them, but at such a catastrophically high cost that they couldn't afford it. And so the result is the businesses often move out of the Negro neighborhood. And people, some of them who don't have anything but public transportation at their disposal, have to go further afield to buy their food and their medicine. Anyway, here are some salient points from today's Globe and Mail. Tensions flared anew on Monday after a news conference with Kenosha Mayor John Antaramanian, originally to be held in a park, but it had to be moved inside the city's public safety building. Hundreds of protesters rushed to the building, and a door was snapped off its hinges before police in riot gear pepper sprayed the crowd. These people are out of control, and I am not denying that the public should demand and deserves a full investigation about what happened. And if this was not a justifiable shooting, well then naturally the suitable measures should be taken. But what has been done is just basically rioting and destruction. And I don't think any civilized country can give in to the mob. But it actually, if anything, gets worse. The man who claimed to have made the video, 22-year-old Racine White, said that he saw Mr. Blake scuffling with three officers and heard them yell, drop the knife," before the gunfire erupted. He said he didn't see a knife in Mr. Blake's hands. Okay, now that's very much something that has to be investigated. Did he have a knife? And the police were totally within their rights to ask that he, or demand that he drop the knife. And if he didn't, well, they too are perfectly within their rights and the law says force is justified if the officers apprehend serious danger to life or their own or others. I did hear the Negro's mother, Jacob Blake's mother, on public broadcasting radio from the States today, urging people there not to be violent and not to loot and burn and riot. And you know, and good on her, of course, good on her. However, not good on sleepy Joe Biden. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden called for, quote, an immediate, full, and transparent investigation and said the officers must be held accountable. Well, okay, yeah, there should be an investigation, and, you know, if wrong was committed, but then he goes on. This morning, the nation wakes up yet again with grief and outrage. Yet another black American is a victim of excessive force. Oh, he's already had the investigation, has he? And has already come to the conclusion. This is typical of Sleepy Joe. Republicans and the police union accuse the politicians of rushing to judgment, reflecting the deep partisan divide in Wisconsin, which is, of course, going to be a key presidential battleground. Carissa Lewis, National Field Director of Movement for Black Lives, a coalition of more than 150 black-led organizations that made up the broader Black Lives Matter movement, said the shooting was yet another example of why activists are calling for defunding police departments. Okay, defund the police departments. Do away with policing? Well, then the gangsters will rule the streets of not only the ghettos, but of much of the United States. This is an utterly irrational demand. An interesting little factoid, though. Online court records indicate Kenosha County prosecutors charged Mr. Blake on July 6th with sexual assault, trespassing, and disorderly conduct in connection with domestic abuse. An arrest warrant was issued the following day. A little over a month ago, the person, the Negro that the police shot, this Jacob Blake, had some fairly serious charges laid against him. Assault, trespassing, and disorderly conduct in connection with domestic abuse. So it sounds like a domestic issue. That he had a violent past, or at least accusations were made that he had been violent. And so he's already charged with that. So there would seem that there's fairly good reason for the officers to be a bit apprehensive. And if he had a knife, or they thought he had a knife, and he was shot reaching through the window of his car. He was outside his car, reaching through the window. Now, again, we don't have all the information, more of that is to come. But it would seem that they had a very justifiable fear that he was reaching for a knife, and they were asking him to drop it. The proper response from the details we have would be for him to back out, stop reaching into the car, and back up, showing his hands and showing that he did not have a knife, or at least was no longer carrying it. The scary thing, though, is this absolute rush to judgment. Sleepy Joe Biden already says this is part of racism and violence against blacks. It could, and it probably should, equally well be read as the ongoing improper behavior of many blacks, particularly black males, in their interactions with police. Now, I'm not saying in each and every case, but in situations where instead of following police orders, the black ignores them or resists, with the result that the situation escalates and there's violence. As my good friend Brad Love has often said, and he's no great admirer of many of the police forces, comply with the police and sort it out in court. And very often he has sorted it out even before court.
when the Crown looks at the ridiculous circumstances in some cases with Brad, they drop the charges. But that's the way to do it. To resist the police, to behave in a uncooperative and weird fashion, is to in many ways invite the sad results that we've seen in this case. Well, I'm going to take my musical break, or at least I'm going to try to take my musical break. And this is another great Merle Haggard song called America First. And when I was on with Jamie Kelso on the Trump phenomenon for several years, we repeatedly used this song. This is a song with Rhonda Vincent, and she sings "I'm Not Over You." It's an old song. Many people recorded it, but this is a really nice version with a woman who has a very very engaging and powerful voice, and that's Rhonda Vincent. "I'm Not Over You," which is what should start up in.
Hi, I'm Rex Moore with the Motley Fool, and I've been to a very crowded for 8 straight years now.
There we are. Don't think we want to do an ad for the Motley Fool as good as it might be. Motley Fool is a stock advice column.
The tears upon my face, and each time
That's Ron DeVincent.
And
I'm going to play now a. This is Ron DeVincent in a duet with Daryl Singletary. This is from the American Grandstand. And I hope you like it. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on The Fighting Side of Me here on AltRightTV.com or WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
There it is, that old familiar theme song. It must be time for Larry's Country Diner. It's so good to have you here. We got a great show lined up. We have Daryl Singletary and the lovely Ron DeVincent.
Yeah.
Hello.
We're going to talk about a project you guys did together, but why not get us a song here?
All right. We'd love to.
Do it, to it.
That's Daryl Singletary and Ron DeVincent. The fire's gone out at home. But I conclude tonight with a medley by Boxcar Willie. And these are some of the great old Hank Williams songs. This is Boxcar Willie and doing Hank Williams, a medley of Hank Williams songs, which I hope you'll like. And this is
I want to do you a little medley of a Hank Williams song. If you hear one you like,
You tell me about it, okay? I tried so hard, my dear, to show that you're my every dream. If you're a pretty thing, I do is just some evil scheme. Before I learned to care for you, before we drift apart, why can't I free your doubtful mind and melt your cold, cold heart? Song of Hank Williams. Here's the song that made his name famous all around our world.
She'll do me, she'll do you. She got the kind of love. Lord, I love to hear when she called me sweet and daddy, daddy. Such a beautiful dream. I hate to take it all over. I lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Well, we couldn't quit singing Hank Williams songs unless we did the first one that he ever put on record. Y'all know what the first song he ever put out was? Goes like this. Came in last night at half past 10. That baby of mine, she wouldn't let me.